the newspress.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Deckers, makers of Uggs and Tevas, Pierre LaFon, Wendy Foster offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines, Montecito Bank and Trust proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Habitat for the Humanity, building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter, and CSU Channel Islands. No matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. We have some very interesting guests today. We have Lisa Preskoff, who is Director of Admissions at UCSB, and Antoinette Carter, the coordinator at Guardian Scholars Program, which is associated with UCSB. We'll be talking about that and some of the things that they've been doing, which is really wonderful. Good afternoon, Lisa and Antoinette.
Hello. Good afternoon.
So glad to have you here.
Thank you.
This is college admissions time.
It is.
And I understand that you are very popular now.
Depends who you talk to, I suppose. Yes, yesterday was the day that we released our admission decisions for freshmen. So there are a lot of very happy students out there, but unfortunately there's also some unhappy students out there.
And how many spots are there?
We think our freshman class will be about 4,500.
And you had 4,600 applicants?
We had 82,000 applicants. 82,000 applicants, and we admit about 32% of those.
You know, I think I told the story once before, but I had a friend years ago who asked me to help her daughter write college applications, and she was really smart, but she was lazy. So I helped her write a bunch of essays, and one of the schools she really wasn't that interested in, but it was a difficult school, but I said, let me try something funny. So the essay question was, who would you like to have dinner with? Dead or alive, anyone in the world, dead or alive, who would you find the most interesting person to? So I wrote the director of admissions. And
wow.
It was really funny. And that was the only school she didn't get into.
Uh-oh.
So I don't know if director of admissions have good senses of humor.
You have to.
You have to.
you have to.
So, you know, we had several guests by coincidence over the last 6 weeks that were involved on the other side in terms of helping kids choose colleges and helping kids through the process.
Right.
And one of the interesting things one of them told me, there's a lot of interesting things, was that someone who has a resume that includes 10 different things, including concert violinist, explore the entire universe, is already a heart surgeon, is not as attractive as someone with one particular interest that indicates passion. Hmm. Is that true?
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I think we're looking for all kinds of students, and some of the students that we're admitting because, in addition to great academics, they've done a large variety of activities. But then there's a whole nother set of students who maybe have a very strong passion for one type of activity. Maybe they are equestrians, or maybe they are dancers, and all of their free time is devoted to excelling in that one discipline. So we're attracted to both. It's really up to the student to sell themselves, really, to tell us what they've done, what they've been able to balance, what it means to them. So there's no one applicant that really looks like another applicant. They're all very different, just like we're very different. And at a university, you're trying to get people to form a community, and in a community, you need a variety of people.
And is it still important to have a good result on the tests, the SAT or the ACT?
It's important to have strong academics, so definitely test scores are one part of that picture. The grade point average is another part of the picture. The difficulty, the variety of courses that a student chooses to take also adds to that picture. So we're putting all of these things together in addition to the student's personal statement that you talked about, their list of clubs and activities, and all those things combined we're forming an opinion on that student.
And what about diversity? Are you permitted in California to make decisions with a scale that benefits minority groups?
No, we are not allowed to do that. So there's regent policy and state law that does not permit the use of gender or ethnicity in the admission decision.
So how do you deal with the question of getting a diverse group of people?
Good question. I think a lot of people focus on, you know, the admission criteria, the cutoffs, the GPAs, but what they don't realize is that admission offices spend the majority of our time out in the community visiting high schools, encouraging students to apply. So there are a large number of outreach programs within the University of California where we try to visit underserved schools where populations of students might exist that are not familiar with the college application process, and we try to educate them about that. So from mid-August until middle of November, we're blanketing the state of California, visiting as many high schools as we can. So the goal is to get a large enough applicant pool of a diverse type of students so that when it comes time to do the formal selection process, we have a diverse group of applicants to choose from.
And is the decision a decision by committee, or is it made by you, or how is the decision made?
No, I can't possibly review 82,000 applications myself. No, we have a large team of professionals, and we bring in retired teachers and counselors from the community to help us review the applications. So every application is reviewed by at least two different reviewers.
So obviously, my idea of writing about having dinner with the director of admissions doesn't work. Do you have any advice regarding college essays?
I think my greatest piece of advice is for the student to be genuine and not try to present themselves as something they're not. You know, we're not looking for essays that sound like a thesaurus. You know, as I always tell students, you know, if you don't use plethora in your everyday language, then don't put it in your essay. Yeah. You know, it should sound like a 17-year-old. It should be your own voice, and it should be sincere, and you should tell us the things that you're passionate about.
Yeah, I use the word plethora a lot.
Do you?
Yes, and but I went to the dentist, and he took it out. So I'm fine now.
Excellent.
We have with us today Antoinette Carter, who is the coordinator at the Guardian Scholars Program, a program that you started a number of years ago.
I was at a program at Santa Barbara City, and it brought together the people in Santa Barbara County who work with foster youth. And I happened to meet a young lady there named JoJo, and she told her story about being abandoned as an 8-year-old little girl and being put into the foster care system. And she had completed all her coursework at the community college and just didn't know what to do next. So after her presentation, I approached her and said, you know, have you thought about transferring to UC Santa Barbara? And she was very intimidated of the process. And in fact, I had to email her and call her for 2 years, literally. 2 years before I could get her to apply to UC Santa Barbara. And in the meantime, I had another high school counselor in Long Beach who used to work for us. And she said, hey, I'm sending you my two favorite students I've ever worked with, and I hope you take good care of them when they arrive. One of those students happened to be Antoinette here, who had previously been in foster care. So I said, well, hey, while I'm waiting for JoJo to get her transfer application completed, why don't you help me start a program for former foster youth who were enrolled at UC Santa Barbara? Because previously we didn't know if we had students. Mm-hmm. But up until the time that Antoinette applied, there was a question added to the UC application that says, have you ever been in foster care? And by adding that question, I was able to identify the students who enrolled at UCSB who had been at foster care.
Could that question scare people? That it looks like you're asking it because if the answer is yes, you're not going to accept them?
I don't think so, because there are instructions that say, tell us a little bit about your experience. Mm-hmm. And the goal being, we want to make sure we have the services available. So Antoinette was admitted as a freshman. She and I sat down and said, hey, let's start this club for former foster youth. So we emailed all the students that we knew of, and Tweet was the founding president,
And it just
tweet,
took off
the
from
way,
there.
We're not talking about Trump. We're talking about Antoinette.
Antoinette.
Tweet is a very lovable nickname that we have for Antoinette.
Yes. Yeah. I just want to clarify that.
Definitely not Donald Trump.
So we're going to talk a lot about this, but we have to take a break. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and Santa Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Deckers Brands, the parent company of global lifestyle footwear brands UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Anu, invite you to experience their new brand showcase firsthand in Goleta. Discover new product, try on a range of offerings from your favorite Deckers brand, and get a peek into the company's headquarters. The brand showcase is open for business Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and from 11 to 5 on Sunday at 250 Coromar Drive in Goleta. See you out there.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers, in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. We're here with Lisa Prezikop, Director of the Office of Admissions at UCSB, and Tweet Carter, Coordinator at the Guardian Scholars Program. So, Tweet, tell us, why does a, and I'm not trying to be provocative, but why does someone in foster care need a club? Are there issues that are specific to that, you know, constituency?
Definitely. I think that with the students that are on our campus and definitely at other campuses as well, they need a club or an organization to bring them into spaces where they can connect with other students that they share this background with. There are many needs such as mental health counseling and mental health issues that many of them might have. There are issues such as needing to be motivated in regards to their academics. Many of them are transitioning into living independently without a social worker, without foster parents. Many of them may not have homes back where they might have transferred from before coming into UCSB. And they all need to really connect with each other with this when it comes to breaks, holiday breaks. Lots of them may not know where they're going to go, whereas many other students are like, oh, I'm going to have Thanksgiving dinner with my family. And they can connect and really find support emotionally, mentally, when it comes to these type of issues. And then once again, to also just spread the awareness about this identity, the student identity that we do have at many colleges, if not all, at this point.
I think most people are surprised to find out how many students are at UC Santa Barbara that were in foster care. So we have about 150 students at any given time in the Guardian Scholars Program. And I think that number surprises people. The other thing we always saw with the students, the reason they like to get together, Tweet can talk more about this too, is sometimes it's just nice to have a place to have a pizza party where you don't have to explain your background.
Definitely.
Like, why aren't your parents visiting?
Definitely.
Why aren't you getting care packages? You know, why aren't you going home for you know, a holiday.
Definitely.
And when they're amongst each other, no necessary explanations are needed.
So that's here's another naive question. Implicit in everything you just said, when you go through foster care, when you hit a certain age, what is that, 18 or?
Now it's 21.
Okay, it ends. I mean, why don't you go home for Christmas? I don't understand that. Don't the foster parents still have a relationship with you?
That is definitely up to the foster parents, and that's one of the things that is most crucial right now with the foster care system. These youth are oftentimes put into situations where they're given a bed rather than a family, and it's not. Unfortunately, it's not the most common thing that these youth are finding actual families and parents that they can continue on having relationships with. Like myself, I was fortunate enough to have been adopted and actually have a continued relationship with my adoptive mother and family, but not all youth are that fortunate, and actually not most of them are.
And you have to also realize that sometimes the families that they left, their biological families, they weren't a functional family.
Right.
And so they get out of foster care, and oftentimes their biological families are back in their lives again, mm-hmm. and it's not always a healthy relationship.
Not at all.
You know, so it may be that maybe that family wants some of their financial aid check, or maybe they have no choice but to go stay with that family over a break, but it's a very upsetting experience because it's not a healthy household for them to be in, and they want to get back to UCSB, and they need that support network when they come back because maybe they had a horrible winter break staying with their family.
So foster parents, to some extent, are in this for the money? Is that implicit?
Some, but no, not all. Some have had very loving relationships with their foster families. So I think what surprises people again is there's no one type of situation. I think for every one of our 150 students, they all have very different situations. Some mm-hmm. were adopted at a young age into very loving families. Others come from group homes where they had really no connection, as Tweet said, just a bed to sleep mm-hmm. in. And others, it's somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the California Student Opportunity and Access Program?
Oh, CalSOAP. CalSOAP is an amazing local program. And it is designed to motivate first-generation families from Santa Barbara schools to pursue college. So it's made up of representatives from Santa Barbara City College, UCSB, Westmont College, Cal State Channel Islands, all the local four-year schools, Westmont. And they do a lot of programming in the local schools to educate kids about college and educate them about the availability of financial aid.
So first generation is someone who's from Mexico?
First generation would be, don't always associate it necessarily with ethnic background. It's students who are the first in their family to go to college.
Okay, first in the...
That can be any group.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so can we just go back to ethnic groups? Mm-hmm. What is it? Do you sense any sort of increased anxiety among Latinos and Latinas and other people who may be threatened by the new administration's harsher enforcement of immigration laws? Is that sort of an issue that's on campus right now?
Yeah, to be frank, there is an organization on campus called IDEAS, and it's a group of students who are either undocumented or they're supporting the students on campus who are undocumented. And absolutely, there's concern there. We're also seeing concern from our international student community who are concerned that perhaps there will be a change in their visa status. And maybe they're concerned if I go home, I might not be able to get back into the country. We're seeing concern among prospective international students. Not sure if they want to commit to coming to university in case our immigration laws change, our visa laws change, and they'll get partway through their education, not be able to finish.
There was a New York Times article 2 weeks ago that said a survey of most of the colleges in America showed a 40% decline in foreign student applications.
Yeah, we didn't see a decline in applications, but we're getting a lot of questions about, is it a good time to come to America? Is it a safe campus? Are there any hostilities? that we should be aware of. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there. And there's uncertainty about paying for college amongst all students. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of discussion in the media right now about the president's budget and potential cuts to financial aid programs. And there are a lot of families from low-income to middle-income families that are relying on that financial aid.
And so is UCSB, given its fact that it's a research school. And
we are a research school,
and
yes.
And if you cut those, a lot of the programs that are on in his preliminary budget, that would have an impact, I guess, on all research institutions.
Exactly. Exactly.
So the California Student Opportunity and Access Program that deals with first generation, mm-hmm. The issues that face first generation kids would be daunting, but they actually got into UCSB. So
Right. These
are very highly functioning kids.
Of course, it's not an issue of intelligence. It's an issue of lack of information mm-hmm. about the process. It's unfamiliar if you've not done it before. Tweet was a first generation student. I was a first generation student. You know, I went to a community college for 2 years and had a great education at that community college, but I went there because I had no idea that financial aid was available, so I just assumed I couldn't afford a four-year university.
Yeah, well, you know, the problem is that a lot of people who did afford a college education found out with all their student debt they actually couldn't afford their education. And there's a story I read in the Wall Street Journal a year ago that there was a 88-year-old woman that's still paying off her student debt.
Wow. I think you see that a lot with some of the for-profit institutions yeah. that you saw in the news. We really try to educate students. You know, of course, we want to attract the best students to UCSB, but we take a lot of pride that we're very honest with students. You know, if I'm talking to a low-income student from out of state, I tell them to think twice about how much student loan they might have to take out, and maybe they might be better off at a school closer to home where they don't have to pay that non-resident tuition. So we are not in this to sell the university. We're in this business to help students find the right fit college for them. And we hope it's Santa Barbara, but it might be somewhere else.
You're listening to AHA Presents on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and Santa Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
For more than 20 years now, the unique landscape and people of the Santa Barbara community have helped grow Deckers brands into the lifestyle footwear leaders they are today. Newly opened at their headquarters in Goleta, the Deckers brand showcase allows you to explore and shop the UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands while you're likely to discover something new or potentially receive an in-store special offer. At 250 Coromar Drive in Goleta, the showcase is open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 Monday through Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm here with Lisa Prescop,
director.
Prescop. I had it right the first time. Prescop, director of the Office of Admissions at UCSB, and Antoinette Carter, known to people who are close to her like me as Tweets Carter, coordinator at the Guardian Scholars Program. So Tell us a little bit about yourselves. First, you know, Lisa,
yeah.
Where did you grow up? You're not local to Santa Barbara.
No, I grew up in San Diego.
And
you know, I was a good student. Always thought that college was just for the rich kids. Went to the community college. And I had a high school teacher goes, you know, you should really think about college. You're smart. And it, again, I always thought it was only for the rich kids. And learned that I could go once I learned about financial aid. And I transferred to UC Santa Barbara, having never seen it. Somebody told me it's a great school and everyone had an apartment on the beach. And I thought, wow, that's where I want to go to school. And, you know, knew very little about it, but fell in love with it once I was here. It was very good for me educationally, socially, and got a job in the admissions office when I graduated and never left. I've been there ever since.
And what was your study, field of study?
I was a psychology major.
So that means you're mentally normal?
Hardly. I think, you know, I went into it thinking that, you know, I didn't come from a particularly healthy household. And I had this idea that I would be a child psychologist and then realized maybe I was in over my head emotionally trying to do a career like that, but I still wanted to be in some type of a helping profession. And then I started thinking, you know, I bet there are a lot of people out there who could go to college and didn't know that it was a possibility for them. And so I started researching jobs and found out there was a whole career where you could get paid to help kids get into college. And that's what I pursued.
Yeah, we have a lot in common. You did psychology and I became a patient. I've had so much therapy, I think I could practice. Your education was at UCSB, but you also have a master's degree. Was that UCSB?
Master's in education from UCSB, oh, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
And Tweet, you went to UCSB.
I did, yes.
And your path here was from San Diego also?
Or? No, from the L.A. area. So I was born in Inglewood, but when I was put in foster care, I was moved to Compton.
How old were you when you were put
in? When I moved into foster care, I was 4 years old.
Wow. And did you stay with the same family the whole time?
For the most part. I was moved around just a bit just because of legal issues, but I eventually was placed back into that same home and eventually adopted by them.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
And what did you study at UCSB?
I studied sociology, which is very interesting, though, because I didn't know Lisa's initial goal or ambition was to be a child psychologist. That was mine, too, because I started off psychology and took introduction to psychology and changed my mind, switched to sociology, but the goal was to also be a child psychologist.
And you're I guess working half time at the Guardian program and half time at admissions.
Right. So full time.
So you know, Lisa really is your mentor.
Oh, definitely. Okay, she is my, what do you call it? She's like an anchor for me.
We're mother daughter from
pretty much
different places.
Yep. I've always referred to her as my UCSB mama. No, she's really been there for me ever since I was a freshman on campus and continues to be. So definitely.
So Lisa, how did you get this passion for foster care?
Well, I guess I would say I'm one of the, quote, lucky ones in that I had amazing grandparents who took great care of me because I had a very dysfunctional family. And I just always thought, had it not been for them, who knows, if I would have ended up in foster care, probably today I would have ended up in foster care. But I was lucky I had an extended family that took great care of me. And I just always have a soft spot for those kids out there who are working hard. You know, maybe I always think back to I was from the bad family. And I had people judge me for being from the bad family, even though I was a really good kid. I just always had a soft spot for, you know, people who get mislabeled at an early age. And I always thought education's the way out. It's just the way out. It's what will change the trajectory of your life. And if we could just get more kids educated, and I think for foster youth, the key is to get them into college and let them know there's a whole different world that exists out there. Tweet's a perfect example of that. You know, you've got a college degree. She's working on her master's right now, and she's helping me run this program, and it's making the difference for a lot of kids.
I'm reading a book now called Moonglow, which is a bestseller, and it's the first, I guess, I've ever heard of a biography that's totally fictional. And it's about how, you know, crazy parents that he life, and how his grandparents were so important.
Yeah.
But it's such a funny book because it, first of all, it's really well written, but second of all, it talks about how the influence on someone's life doesn't have to be the direct parent.
No, and oftentimes it's not.
Mm-hmm. So this is the Guardian Scholars Program is supported by private funds?
It is. We have been incredibly lucky. The Hilton Foundation and the Mockeration Family Foundation gave us a large grant that enabled me to hire Antoinette 50% time. Anyone listening, I'm still looking for funds to pay for the other half of her job.
By the way, I noticed when you asked for money, she became Antoinette rather than Kate. It became much more formal.
I'm trying to be more formal.
Right, okay.
So, UC Santa Barbara, and especially Chancellor Yang, has been incredibly helpful in our fundraising efforts for Guardian Scholars because we do want to make it a full-time position so that we can help more students. These students need a lot of extra support. I'll say that oftentimes they're more work than the average student, but well worth the investment.
Yeah.
And do you ever have events where you bring the foster parents in?
No, we
That's
don't.
Not, no. Oh, boy, I asked
no,
the question. I thought
we
I would.
Don't. You know, because I'm sure some of them, again, have phenomenal support networks that we don't necessarily know about. It's just at the university, we're trying to help students become young adults themselves and to be self-reliant and good problem solvers. And so our goal is to empower them themselves, not necessarily having them rely on outside sources of support.
So if the kid is a freshman and he or she is now separated from their foster parents, uh-huh. What do they do on vacations? Are they isolated because everyone's going to Thanksgiving or Christmas? Do they have a place to go?
Yeah, for the most part. And honestly, this is another area where we are lucky, where we don't really have too many students that are left, you know, with nothing, no place to go. Some of our students are now able to, all of our students are eligible now to stay in university housing during the breaks. And then many of them will actually go to friends' houses. They'll go to other relatives' houses. Lots of them might already have an apartment in the community in Santa Barbara near the campus, so then they are more than welcome to stay there. We've honestly only had a few situations where we have to sort of try to accommodate students during the break. But now, with recent legislation passed, students are now able to stay in university housing during the breaks.
And I guess one of the good things about the Guardian group is that it's a support group. So if somebody can really speak to you about a problem, if they have it about not having a place to go, and they know they're going to get a receptive, non-judgmental
Definitely.
Response.
Yeah. And we also have people in the community who have voice that they are more than welcome to help with housing situations.
So what are the metrics? Is there a success rate that is parallel to every other student, or is it worse, better?
What I've seen since we've started the program is our graduation rates are actually, since we started the program, for these students getting better. But typically, they parallel the regular student population. I think the only difference is they sometimes take a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Some students have to stop out maybe to raise a little bit more money, or sometimes life interferes in ways that, you know, they need time off. But they do come back and they do graduate.
And besides Tweet, do you have any particular favorite story, success story?
You know, I think we're so lucky, excuse me, in this community. I think my favorite success story is our relationship with the community. If I can do a shout out, it would be for the Assistance League of Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. They have been heroes to our program.
What is the Assistance League?
The Assistance League of Santa Barbara is a nonprofit in town. But when I have a student with an emergency, I can call the Assistance League and they come to the rescue, whether it be a student who doesn't have a bed or whether it be a student who needs an outfit to do a job interview. The Assistance League has always come through. They come through with Christmas gifts for our students. They come with care packages for our students. And I think it's just, they are just, you know, we call them our guardian angels. They really make sure that our students are well taken care of, meeting needs that we might not necessarily be able to meet. But success stories would be seeing our students graduate, go on to graduate school.
We had a guest on a couple of weeks ago, and it was just an amazing story. They work with very difficult youths, you know, gang members, wannabe gang members. And, you know, these kids are told when they get to high school that, you know, maybe they should take woodwork because that's the best they can do. And they have two kids now that one is going to MIT and one is going to Berkeley. And, you know, the amount of, and, you know, we've been on this air for over 4 years now, and we have, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of guests who basically are trying their hardest to make this a place that everyone has an opportunity, which is exactly what you're doing. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and Santa Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Available only at the company's headquarters in Goleta, the new Deckers brand showcase features the latest footwear from UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands. You're invited to stop by to experience firsthand what makes Deckers brand so unique. Discover new product and try on a range of offerings from your favorite Deckers brand at their retail stores. Now open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and from 11 to 5 on Sunday at 250 Coromar Drive in Goleta.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. We're here with Lisa Preskop, Director of the Office of Admissions at UCSB, and Antoinette Carter, Coordinator at the Guardian Scholars Program. You know, I introduce the shows, each segment with a bunch of adjectives that describes AHA. And, you know, some of them I think are relevant to college kids too.
Yeah.
But one of them in particular, I'm just curious about, you know, one of the big challenges for high school and junior high school kids is bullying.
Yes.
Is that a problem in college?
Well, I guess if you had asked me that a few months ago, I'd say no. But there are some strange things that have been happening on college campuses, I think. With the recent elections, I think we're seeing a lot more people who aren't using the filters that perhaps one would hope they would use, saying inappropriate things. That's really heartbreaking, quite frankly, to see. I think college is a time when students are trying to discover themselves and they should feel safe to figure out who they are. And I think it's a little bit harder to do that these days with fear of being ostracized or called out for their differences.
The Guardian Scholars Program, we talked a lot about the support you give them emotionally. What about academically? Do they get special programs academically?
Yeah, they do get extra support in terms of they get priority registration because, you know, they typically are working more hours than the typical student and need more flexibility with their calendars. If they're struggling, we get them connected to tutoring early on. I think the biggest advantage they have is Tweet, because we're contacting them as soon as we detect that they're having difficulty, and Tweet will call them in. And I don't know, what kind of stuff do you talk about just as far as what's going on in your life? Is that interfering with your academics? What kind of support do you need?
Yeah, we just have conversation, and I've honestly found out or sort of figured out that this is honestly what they usually need the most, is someone to talk to, someone who has been through their path or on through their in their shoes. But we also do have staff advisors located around campus in different departments that are basically go-to people that we send our students to in counseling and psychological services, career services, advising, our advising department, and EOP. Mm-hmm. So I think with all of us collectively as a team, they have a very, very nicely put support system.
Is there a cohort program where if they're interested, you introduce them to other kids so that they have a support group of their own with their own experiences?
It kind of organically happens, because at the beginning of every year we do an orientation where they all are introduced to one another, and it usually is primarily to welcome the freshmen or the first year transfers who are coming onto campus, but also our returning students are welcome to attend, and they all sort of just, you know, meet that way. We continue to have regular meetings and socials for all of them, probably mm-hmm. every 2 weeks. So then it sort of organically happens where they have their cohort of peers.
This may be too early, but it has been just about 10 years since you started this. Do you get graduates coming back and offering either financial or sweat labor help?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, one of the success stories that I should have mentioned when you asked that question was, I mentioned JoJo, who is the one who inspired me to start the program. She did eventually come to UC Santa Barbara and graduate. And in fact, she is now running the Guardian Scholar Program at Allen Hancock College. So, you know, between her and Antoinette here reaching out, that's been great. The other thing we really try to do is, you know, in terms of labels and bullying, I guess I would tell the community out there, sometimes people think that the foster youth themselves are delinquents, or they're dangerous, or maybe they've put in foster care because they did something wrong, when really they are the victim of some really bad circumstances. It seems like most of our students ended up in foster care because of mental health issues of a parent or addiction issues with a parent. They themselves did nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think we try to expose them to experiences to let them know that they can live a normal life. We have a holiday party sponsored by the Mockeration family, and it's always a beautiful, beautiful celebration in the Montecito Country Club, for example, because Hadi Mockeration, our donor, wants students to understand that this kind of lifestyle can be yours, and wants them to feel comfortable in any setting, because it's not a setting normally that most foster youth are comfortable in. Mm-hmm. Right? The first time you went to a Guardian Scholar party, you were probably kind of intimidated.
Very. Very. I remember I probably was sweating bullets. We had someone famous there speaking to us about their story. I think the first person was Victoria Rao. Uh-huh. And I knew her from my mom's stories that she would watch, I think Young and the Restless, and she's here in the same room speaking to all of us. And then
the country club and Fine China and all of those things were unfamiliar,
right? Not all of it, but it was also very, it just made me feel very grateful that there was a room full. How many donors?
Hundreds.
Yeah, donors who are actually concerned about our population, the former foster youth, and
sometimes our students need to be convinced that there are people that care about them.
Exactly.
So you mentioned that the Guardian program in another school. So the Guardian program is not just UCSB. This is a national program?
You'll find it at a lot of colleges now. And in California, it has really spread. It's at the community colleges, sometimes under different names. Mm-hmm. But most colleges in California now have programs that support foster youth. Mm-hmm.
But if they have the same name, there's no national organization that ties it together financially or best practices? Or
we try to share best practices with each other. In California, we have some annual meetings, but really we do all our own fundraising.
And do you have special events for fundraising? Do you have a dinner at the Montecito Country Club?
we have a holiday party. We don't sell tickets to it. It's an invitation-only event. But anyone interested can visit our website, the Guardian Scholars website at UC Santa Barbara, and they can donate right on our website. And sometimes people donate money. Sometimes they donate
computers.
If you have a couch you need a home for, we usually can find a Guardian Scholar who needs a couch.
Yeah.
So it's really a very much a grassroots kind of program. Yes. It's just myself and Tweet, and we do as much as we can for the students with the help of the community.
Exactly.
So you don't look for mentors from the community?
We don't really use community mentors, more because there are rules about protecting student privacy, so we can't really just give a community member students' names and contact information, but we try to find the mentors on campus. And quite frankly, Tweet is a mentor to most of them.
Must be pretty busy. How many? There's 146, you said?
About anywhere from 150 to 160 any given year.
And yeah. the student body is what?
23,000 at UCSB.
Okay, so it's still a small...
It's a very small, small group, yeah. But a very powerful group.
Definitely.
Of course, when I said it's small, Tweet's eyes widened. She said, easy for you to say.
Yeah, you don't have 150 people calling you for help every day.
No.
And sometimes our students, some need a lot of support, and some might just occasionally call with a question.
Yeah.
So the level of support they need can vary, vary widely.
So you live through this. Do you have greater patience or less patience for people because you've succeeded? Do you sometimes say, I did it, get a grip?
Not at all.
She has a huge heart.
Not at all. I've always been very aware of my unique fortune and having someone who wanted to adopt me and remain as my parental guardian, and knowing definitely that not all students have had that. Having a place to say, okay, I'm going back home during Christmas, not all students have that. I've always had, really, honestly, this passion to help those students who did not have this type of support that I was granted, really. And I honestly see that my lived experience is purposed, or the purpose of that was to eventually get me to a place where I'm able to help those who did not right. have that fortune.
And help, you have to understand, for some students it might be, I need someone to listen to me because I really have to vent about what a really hard day I've had, and I don't have someone to ask to listen. But for some students, it's, I just need a place to store my stuff over the summer.
Yeah.
So you can't assume that all the needs are all very dramatic. Sometimes it's just very basic. I need to move apartments and I don't have a car. Is there a way someone can help me?
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and Santa Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Founded by a UCSB grad, Deckers Brands has grown into a global driver of lifestyle footwear. From humble beginnings in 1973, Santa Barbara has been a key element of the business, defining the company's culture, providing home base for many employees, and inspiring product innovation each year. For a first-hand experience, stop by the Deckers Brands headquarters in Goleta, 250 Coromar Drive, from 10 to 7, Monday through Saturday, 11 to 5 Sunday, and shop their new brand showcase retail test lab. Guaranteed, you'll see a new side to Deckers' portfolio, from footwear to handbags to home furnishings.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers, in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership,
Will builds 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. We're here with Lisa Preskopf, the director of the Office of Admissions at UCSB, Antoinette Carter, coordinator at the Guardian Scholars Program. So you have an event coming up in May, or May is, in fact, the Foster Care Awareness Month.
Yes, yeah.
And what does that mean?
So nationally, May is recognized as Foster Care Awareness Month. And so at UCSB, this will be the first year that we're actually able to do awareness events on a large scale. So right now, myself and our students, our peer advisors, we are planning weekly events, multiple events actually every week to occur throughout the month of May, such as Mondays are going to be Movie Mondays, where we will show a film that is reflective of youth in foster care. Wednesdays will be Awareness Wednesdays, where we actually bring in panelists who are, they might be faculty members or community members. We will have a student share their story, a student perform an artistic piece, because we have many very talented youth in our program, students in our program. And then Fridays, we will just be handing out information and in direct contact with our campus community, basically focusing on a specific demographic within foster care. So one Friday will be dedicated to specifically Black youth in foster care. Another one will be Chicano youth in foster care. Another one, LGBTQ youth. And then the last Friday, or the fourth Friday, will be undocumented youth in foster care.
And the audience for this that you're hoping for is, are donors or people in the school? Or
campus, our campus community.
So you want to make the students aware, not necessarily donors aware.
Students, okay. Faculty, staff, just our entire UCSB campus community.
Okay, so how can we get you a full-time job? So how do we raise money here? We got a bunch of listeners.
Yeah, we will take it if you want to part with it.
Well, how do you do it? Do you have a way to donate on your website?
Yeah, the Guardian Scholar website, if you just Google UCSB Guardian Scholars, you will get to our website, and you can actually make donations right on the page. Or you can contact me in the Office of Admissions, and I'm happy to talk about how you might help the program. That would be great. And again, it typically isn't going to be mentoring your time, but it might be a cash donation. It might be goods and supplies that you need a home for. If you have jobs, we always have our Guardian Scholars are frequently looking for employment. So student internships and jobs that you can make available, I'd love to talk to you about that as well.
That's a very good point, and that's true for all of the education institutions in town. Finding jobs for kids is really helps the business, it helps the kids,
yeah.
and ultimately helps the community.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much. I've learned a lot. Hopefully our listeners have also. You can make a donation on the Guardian website. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. Can I call you Tweet?
Yes.
We've become close enough that I can
yes.
call you Tweet.
Yes. And
we'll be back here next week with another edition of AHA Presents.